epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
He's Mike Clay, and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
Mike is a dude who makes posters and music come together for poster art. Perhaps you've seen it before when you go to Flatstock. It's a part of Bumbershoot every year. It's a concert poster exhibition at the Seattle Center Exhibition Hall, and it's this weekend. Not only is it the second, third, and fourth like Bumbershoot, it is also the fifth. They've decided to stay open an extra day on Labor Day. You see, Bumbershoot was always Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Well, they've moved it now, so it's a day earlier. But Monday, Labor Day is still open, and they thought, let's stick around and have a chance to let you get in for free. So even if you can't make it to Bumbershoot, huge mistake, you'll have a chance to see some of the finest art from across the country when it comes to bands on tour and the silk screening business combined.
Do I hear myself? Yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, you sound good.
Oh, wow.
You got a good voice for this. I immediately am reconsidering my reconsidering my life here, my life choices. Okay, well, we're rolling. That's how this works.
Sweet.
there's no rhyme or reason to this. Mike Clay is a graphic designer, I take, an artist.
I am. And a graphic designer, a screen printer, a illustrator, all the above.
And on top of that, you're helping organize Flatstock.
I am. I am indeed the organization master behind Flatstock this year.
It is a tradition at Bumbershoot, Seattle Center, every year. I remember when it used to be down in the exhibit center. What was that called? The
Fisher Pavilion?
Thank you. And then they said it wasn't going to be there anymore, I thought it was gone. And I was like, no! Can't get rid of Flatstock. That's like one of the big reasons I go to Bumbershoot is to see that.
Correct, Dave. We've had numerous incarnations of where we actually set up Flatstock. We were originally in the food court before they changed it to the Armory.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, they had Sbarro and Subway and all these horrible places to eat.
I haven't had a Sbarro in probably like 15 years.
Yeah. I don't know if they're even around anymore. Maybe in the malls.
Okay.
And we got 75 people coming out for Flatstock, and we needed a bigger space. They put us in the Fisher Pavilion, and it was great those years. Now, with AEG taking over Bumbershoot in general, they put us back last year. It almost didn't happen last year.
No, no.
About a month before Bumbershoot, we were about to can it because there was no organization. They had an intern running point for us for AEG.
Oh my God. That's part of the transition, though,
exactly.
When they switched from, it was OneReel that did it before, yeah. And AEG picked it up at the last minute and just kind of said, like, here we go!
Exactly.
All right.
And I kind of took everybody and harnessed everybody back in and said, come on, let's do it. It's a month out. I know we probably won't get people from, you know, Minnesota or something coming out. And we had a pretty decent showing. I think we had about 30 artists. And this year, I wanted to get it on point in June, get it done, and yeah, we got a lot more people signed up and flying out for it, and everybody was able to, you know, plan their hotel, plan their flights.
Sure.
So
I guess we should do a better job of setting up what exactly this is, because I mentioned Flatstock to someone the other day who's a Seattle person who's done these things, and they were like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean, what? Flatstock is a huge gathering of artists who have done poster art. Is there a technical term for it?
It's a concert poster exhibition.
Concert poster exhibition happens in the Armory now every year.
We changed it this year.
What? That's you moved again?
We moved again.
Ah!
So everybody kind of griped that we're back in the food court after being in this luxurious big space of the Fisher Pavilion.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. It's good traffic. There's a lot of people just getting bite and just stumble upon it.
Yeah.
We're in the exhibition hall.
Oh.
This year.
So you moved back to the...
It's the sunken hall at the north end of the campus, north end of the Seattle Center.
Okay.
We're inside with the breakdance stage.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So the breakdance stage is in there. There's other visual arts and then our poster exhibition.
Is that near the comedy, sort of?
Kind of. Okay. I don't know exactly where the comedy is.
I'll have to figure all this out. I'll post a map when I actually blog about this and stuff so people can find it. But okay, so you're moving around again. I feel like the art is so awesome that it's like rad poster art, not just from Seattle shows, but from artists around the country. And there's so many brilliant, beautiful ideas of all different styles. It's almost like tattoo art on paper.
Right, right, yep.
And there's so many different things that it calls to people itself, no matter where you end up. I feel like they find it.
It does, yeah. We tried to get the word out, and they're doing a good job this year of labeling where we're going to be at. And we've had a couple people, other businesses like Polite Society and Easy Street Records help us out and promote. And there's also a preview show happening right now that was happening throughout the whole month of August, and it was happening in the KXB gathering space.
Sure, that makes sense if they're on Seattle Center.
Yep. So they have like a preview show of 30 posters, one from each studio that's going to be there.
Oh, cool. It's pretty sweet. And, I think I saw some press on that. I think maybe you sent it to me. Well, that's cool. So are you a poster artist yourself?
I am. I had a boring corporate design gig. From about 2001 to 2005.
Yeah.
And I had all these other ideas in my head. And
what were you doing at the corporate place? Like, what type of stuff?
It was in-house creative services, basically, for an insurance broker.
Oh, boy.
Making boring words look pretty,
I guess,
you know, and team charts and all this stuff.
Lots of typography.
Yeah. So I had all these other ideas in my head, and I needed a way to get them out. And I've always been a huge fan of music. And then I became a designer, graphic designer. I've been drawing my whole life. And the concert poster is a perfect marriage of art and music.
It's so cool.
So I made my first concert poster for a drum and bass night at Chop Suey in 2003. One of those little digital ones you see on the poles.
Yeah.
And my first flat stock was that year as well, in 2003. And I had about 8 11 by 17 posters, made literally no money. But seeing all this other art, basically people were like, you have to silkscreen your art. Learned how to silkscreen.
So you just printed them like at Kinko's or something like that?
Yeah, just a digital copy.
Okay, that's what you mean. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
So I learned how to silkscreen through a friend in his studio one-bedroom apartment. He had a washout in his bathtub, and it was ghetto to the max.
Cool.
And learned, and the rest is history. I mean, set up my own press, printed in his basement, set up my own press, and now I have a semi-auto press, which is a little more set up and not so hand-pulled, but it's basically put paper in, kick a foot pedal, it floods, and it prints, and then it pops up, and you take paper out.
Okay, well, I mean, I think there's some differentiations we should go through here. Like, when you're talking about just printing a digital flyer, mm-hmm. you're just getting a one pass or a couple pass with, like, a laser printer or something like that.
Yeah.
Could you do it onto nice paper and make it look all right?
You can do, with the digitals, I mean, it all depends on the stock of paper. You can, you know, do cardstock or just a flimsy piece that, you know, they mask. They print like 1,000. And
so this guy tells you like to do screen printing, and screen printing, it's essentially your, how do you call it? I'm trying to simplify what screen printing is.
Screen printing, you're passing ink through a screen that has a stencil on it onto a substrate below. It's the same as shirt printing, basically, except you're doing it on paper. Shirt printing needs an added heat element to cure the ink to the shirt. With poster printing, it dries in like 15 minutes.
And do you go, each color is a single pass on its own then, because you have to have different stencils?
Let's say you have 100 posters. You put your first color, you do all 100 of those, take the screen out, put in your new stencil, do another 100 with your second color. And I mean, people do like crazy 15 color screen prints. And I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Except for you have to keep it perfectly...
Registration. So you basically have reg lines and you line it up, and I basically just put the screen down and look through it and shift my paper to where it needs to be vacuum comes on, sucks the paper down, and makes it not move. You put your tabs down, and voila.
Wow, man. So I guess what's the advantage to doing it that way? Like, what, as an artist, why did your friend say, dude, you got to start screen printing?
With screen printing, you get more of that handmade look to it. Things like imperfections. And essentially, they become collector's items because you make this edition of, let's say, 100, and you sign a number of them, and then they become collectible. So they could retain, you know, gain monetary value via money. Some of those, you know, early Fillmore posters you find on eBay are just ridiculously expensive. And they become this kind of archive of this event, you know, that happened. And yeah, there's just a huge draw towards them.
Now, has it, like other things in an analog world that's rapidly becoming digital, has it become a bigger deal in the recent years that people want this physical piece of art? Or has it always been a draw for people like touring that you know of?
I think it's a mixture of both. People like the handmade quality. And one thing about it is it's so accessible that pretty much anybody can learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's...
They teach at the Vera Project.
Yeah,
I mean, you can learn there.
Exactly. You kind of get taught and do it yourself. The setup, buying all your materials, is kind of expensive at first, but once you get going, I mean, you're saving money by printing it yourself.
Sure.
Basically. And it's kind of become, with bands usually now kind of look at it as a merch item. So the concert posters kind of become the new concert t-shirt. So they'll sell them at their merch booth, and they'll have like a run for either the night or their tour that they take around with them and sell.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, because as a kid going to shows, I went to a lot of punk concerts and stuff like that, so those guys probably didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I never saw posters for sale from the night. Maybe the label that they did, you know, did a digital run that looked nice or whatever, but just on flimsy, shiny paper that they would, you know, they would tape up everywhere around the area a couple days before or something like that. But I don't know if that's a new phenomenon or if I just was living in small dorky towns where they didn't offer it.
I have no idea. Back then, I mean, I think the bands actually went and spent time at Kinko's and Xeroxed their own stuff.
Wow.
You know, just there's that other DIY aspect where
yeah.
you're at Kinko's and Xeroxing all this stuff numerous times, which gives it that grungy kind of look,
sure.
you know?
Especially in the punk rock world, man.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. So it's not... It's a bunch of people getting together, learning an art form, which is screen printing, and there's an investment, and there's more to it than just being able to just print. You got to, like, imagine it right. You got to separate it correctly, I would imagine.
Exactly, yeah.
And then, so, flat stock, effectively, to get back to what we started a few minutes ago, is a gathering of a bunch of people like yourself that make posters and collect collections of art, and they set up booths, and you can come by and see one artist, many artists, a portion of, like, from a few artists together, all collected in one area.
Correct.
And it's not just local people in Seattle, right? You bring in, like you started to say, from like it's not the guy from Minnesota or whatever. You bring in a whole variety of artists.
Yeah, we have just reading down the list. I mean, someone coming from Houston, someone from Austin, Portland, L.A., Eugene. What else? Las Vegas,
cool.
Concord, California, Missoula, Montana. These people are everywhere, and they're doing the same thing. And it's really cool. We're all kind of like a family that do these shows, these flat stock shows. Seattle is one of four that happen worldwide.
Oh, wow.
It was the actual third one. The first one was actually orchestrated and put on by a guy named Frank Kozik in San Francisco in 2002, I believe. It all stemmed from a website that unfortunately doesn't exist anymore, called gigposters.com. So you had this digital site where there were forums, and you could basically learn how to screen print through a forum. And it was a collection of all these posters. You make your poster, you upload it, you get comments, and you have this digital family, essentially. And they thought, Frank said, hey, why don't we put a show together? Why don't we all get together and see what this becomes?
Cool.
So the American Poster Institute, which is a nonprofit, has all of these accredited professionals that we base the API for short. They put on that flat stock shows, and they orchestrate everything and deal with all the logistics. The second one happened at South by Southwest.
Smart.
In Austin, Texas, in the convention center there. And the common theme is they all coincide with the music festival because it's a built-in audience.
Yeah.
Music, art, it's a no-brainer pretty much. The third one happened in Seattle. And then the fourth one started in Chicago at Pitchfork Music Festival. Mm-hmm. And now there's a European contingent. They do it at the Reeperbahn Festival in Hamburg, Germany. And that happens right after the flat stock here at Bummershoot.
I wonder, some of the artists must travel from one to the next.
Yeah,
right?
a lot. I'm one of the, I would say, the minorities where I have a day job and I don't do this full time. I probably could, but I'm just like that paycheck, you know, paycheck.
You must be a family man. Those
exactly.
are the words of a family man.
Yes. The kids need insurance.
Is the business competitive? Like, I can only imagine there's like a kick-ass show coming to town and you really want to do that Fleet Foxes show from a few years ago and everyone kind of wants a piece of that. Is there a competitiveness to it?
It's probably more competitive for those that do it full-time. We all kind of get along and don't see it as competition.
Cool.
The channels in Seattle, the venues and the promoters, they have a list and they go through the list and kind of throw it up in the air. Hey, you want to do a poster for the show? And it's basically first come, first serve. And it's become now what I found in Seattle that the promoters will actually pay you for a run, let's say 50. They cover your cost to make the poster. And then they give them out to the bands, to VIPs, to employees. And then after the show, you can sell your remaining copies and recoup what you spent and time and energy and what you put into it.
Oh, fun, man.
Yeah. So that's why you see them on websites. You can go buy posters and Flatstock will be one place where you can just walk up to the artist, talk to them and bring home art with
it,
you.
You know, I've said this already to you moments ago, was that it reminds me sort of a tattoo expo, like where you have a bunch of artists that instead of using skin, they're using paper as their medium.
Correct.
But you really get to see a wide variety of styles and different people's takes on different things and the shows that they gravitate towards.
Correct.
How many booths do you have approximately at a Flatstock?
We have, I want to say 40.
And people, 40 booths, people pay to rent out a space and then bring their art and hang it up?
Yeah, basically, the API facilitates that. We basically just set the booth fee for the artists. Mm-hmm. That covers the cost that we have to pay the festival. You know, they charge us for rent for the room.
Yeah.
And everybody goes and has a great time and hopefully walks away with a little bit of extra money.
It's tough to put people on the spot like this, but are there some posters that you've seen at Flatstock where you're like, damn, that's the jam? Is there like stuff that stood out to you?
It all stands out. Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, each Flatstock is different. You have a lot of the same studios and artists that go to these, so you're familiar with their work. Now with the Instagram and Facebook, you see their work before you actually see the physical copy.
I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think about how you could actually do your like homework before that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there any money to be made in this? Lots of times art is not. There's no payoff for art. You do it because you love it or whatever.
Yeah, but there's an ongoing rolling joke that you can't make a living making concert posters. And some of the greats have, I think it's a starting point and you create this body of work and then you get hired because of that body of work to do something completely different. Like other clients come knocking on your door, So that's where the professional designer or artist or illustrator will make their bulk of their money and support themselves.
In the community, are there people that are like certain styles? You can hear the difference between blues and pop music in a second or whatever. But like in the poster community, is there like that guy's this type of style? Does that exist at all?
I don't know if you would label it with a type of genre or style. It's more like this person is really good at doing his posters on the computer digitally. There's a lot of people that hand draw their posters, which is super time consuming. And there's so many talented illustrators that actually make each poster like it's the best poster ever. And some of these details that you can get when you illustrate a poster and then you put it into the screen print medium and make a screen print, the colors, the vibrant, the details is just eye-popping. Cool. Just like eye overload, basically.
Who are some cool artists that you've gotten a chance to make posters for that you were like, oh, that was fun?
Oh, it ranges everywhere. Death Cab, yeah. Back in 2006, I did a tour poster for them. There's a lot of local bands, Kinski, who really, really like concert posters.
I want to get into one of their homes and be able, I mean, I'll, with permission, and yeah. And see the posters that they hang up of their own tours and stuff for people that are into that.
The last one I did was for Ben Harper at the Mary Moore show. So, yeah, it's all over the board, and my music style is, I guess what I listen to is so diverse, so I kind of stretch it all over. I've even done stuff for like electronic artists, like James Lavelle from Uncle.
Is there ever a point where you just do it because you're just bored and you're like love art, so you just make a fun poster even though you might not have a gig?
I used to do that a whole bunch when I had time, and now it's with the day job, with the family, with making posters, and I mean, a lot of this concert poster stuff led to other merch, too. I'm making hats, like the Evergreen sticker you saw. I made cool hats and stickers, shirts, art prints. So basically, it's a concert poster that's silkscreen, but it doesn't have a name on it, doesn't have a band on it.
Oh, cool.
It's just an image that, you know, you came up with in your head.
Well, and so I imagine if a boring corporate company wants to have a creative person doing those memos for them or whatever, that there are people that want to hire you then just for your art, just without the concert names.
Exactly.
Like.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I put on a poster show piggybacked on Flatstock at the Northwest Folklife Festival called Paperstock instead of Flatstock. And it was a small collective of local designers. And it was free inside gallery walls at the Seattle Center. And a higher-up from REI comes walking through. And all of a sudden, I get an email from REI. Hey, we need some of your art. We'd love to use it as retail display in our stores. So one avenue leads to another.
What's the art that you like to do? Like, what?
A lot of my stuff is like outdoors stuff. I mean, I grew up in California going to Tahoe and was outside all the time, either at the beach or in the mountains. And a lot of my stuff relates to that, you know, nature, scenery, and mountains and stuff like that.
I think that speaks to a lot of artists as well.
Especially, in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So a Death Cab is like right up your alley.
Yep.
Then.
Yep.
Is there anyone that you, like, if you could, who is somebody that you would want to take a stab at doing a poster for? You must daydream about this from time to time.
That's a tough question.
I know.
The latest one I wanted to do was Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
Which is coming up. But the promoter basically wanted to buy a run of the posters, but would only let me print that amount. And I wouldn't be able to have any for myself afterwards. So I kind of passed.
And then if you have integrity, then you stick to those terms. And if you are like, screw you, I'll just print my own and hang it up in my house.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So does it, I guess I don't know who orders them. I mean, is it a band that orders prints for themselves, or does the local promoter do it, or is there sometimes both?
Both. Yeah. The bands will definitely, basically their manager handles it. Their manager will contact you and say, hey, we need a quote for this poster that run that we want for a tour or something like that. Usually most bands will do it for a tour. The Band of Horses guys really like silkscreen posters too, and I've done two for them.
Oh, they're so good,
too. And those are hot sellers. I mean, everybody loves Band of Horses.
Yeah, and that's perfect for if you're talking about doing nature imagery and those guys. It feels like it goes right together.
Yeah, and it's so easy nowadays with the web. Just throw up a store, and people will order worldwide. I've shipped tubes to Europe, tubes to Japan. So accessible.
How does that affect the local Flatstock community then? I mean, everyone's online. Everyone can I've paid with a card on Square now, so I can like get stuff there or taking a business card. How does it affect the Flatstock community when it comes to getting together?
It doesn't really affect. I mean, it's a positive definitely when everybody comes together. Because when people are at a festival, they're looking for something to take away from it. When they happily stumble upon Flatstock, even if they didn't know it existed or was part of the festival, and they see all this stuff, it's kind of, as a human, you're kind of urged to buy something overwhelms you and you leave with a poster.
Especially when it's beautiful art.
Exactly.
It's not just a toaster or something like that. Yeah. That's tips for hanging some of these posters up, because I have 15 of them at my house that I've just bought on impulse, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I try to go once or twice every year just to see them. But I never want to, I want to frame them and hang them up in my house, and I never do because it's expensive to frame things.
Framing 90% of the time will be more expensive than the actual print you bought.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
I'm spending $25. That's another thing we should say about Flatstock, is that it's wonderfully oftentimes affordable. $20 oftentimes will get you a great print of something.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not, you're not spending $200 in most circumstances mm-hmm. to get the poster that you like.
Yeah, it's super affordable. $20-$30 is the average for a print.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody could basically pull that out of their wallet and walk away.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already there. But so methods for displaying
the framing.
Yes. Yeah, because I literally have 10 posters that are not hanging up.
Yeah, the number one thing I always did was go to the penny sale at Aaron Brothers. Twice a year that you could buy a frame for a regular price and then get a second one for a penny.
Oh my God.
But we had Aaron Brothers just down the street from my day job at the Triple Door, and they closed. So now I'm like, where are my frames? Or I tell a lot of people to AmericanFrame.com.
Okay.
You basically put in the dimensions on the website. You can upload a JPEG of your art, and they send you the frame unassembled. With plexiglass, so there's no risk of the glass breaking in the mail, and it's affordable because they send it to you unassembled. You can get a frame with a mat for like $70 shipped.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's pretty affordable.
Yeah, because that's cool that they can make it to size then, because that's what I run into. Yep. Is that like I've got I specifically know my favorite poster I've ever bought, and I have this awesome ISIS the band poster. I'm not mm-hmm. running ISIS propaganda in my house, but and it's a rad war elephant that's on there, and it's so cool, and it's on like a real like a coffee colored paper, like coffee stained paper. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to find a cool frame to match to it, and I've just never done anything with it because like I don't want to damage it. I just want to find the right thing, but also that's good. Okay, AmericanFrame.com.
And also there's some Kickstarters that happened with some new framing solutions with people making these wood strips that are like the width of your poster, and they have magnets. So basically you hang this wood rail on your wall, and you do the top and the bottom, and you have your other wood piece that has magnets in it, and you can just put your print up and it magnets basically up onto the wall.
Oh, that's so dope, because then you can hang the first part.
And you switch them out, you know?
And if you hang the first part, you can make sure it's level rather than trying to figure it out in the end.
Yep.
That's so rad. Okay. So Flatstock, an important detail about Flatstock this year. This all started, our conversation started a few days ago, because Bumbershoot moved their festival from Saturday, Sunday, Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday now.
Yes.
AG running it, they decided to try which, by the way, I love this idea, because I'd love, if you are lucky enough to have Monday off, to have Monday off and recover from 3 days of a festival.
Correct.
But also, you guys are already set up.
Yep.
So you're going to do an extra day?
Yeah. We'll be there on Monday, Labor Day, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We basically, the way I saw it was when they changed those days to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, everybody's already set up. Everybody's already in town. Why? They're not going to say no to an extra day of working an extra day. And the bonus, which AEG totally stoked us on, is that it's free and open to the public. You don't need a Bumbershoot pass to come check out Flatstock, which is the number one gripe that we've got as artists every year. I love Flatstock, but I don't want to have to pay for a Bumbershoot ticket to come to Flatstock.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we've always been trying to think of a way to have Flatstock without the music festival, but you have your built-in audience there, so having this extra day is just going to be super fun.
The folks at Bumbershoot would love it, at AEG would love it, if you bought a ticket, a three-day ticket, something like that, to come see a bunch of music and eat a bunch of food and drink some beers or whatever. But if you can't make that happen, especially if you can't afford it and you still want to see kick-ass art, Seattle Center on Monday after Bumbershoot is wrapped up for free.
Yep. Exhibition Hall, which is on Mercer Street. The doors will be open. I think it's right underneath Pacific Northwest Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
3rd and Mercer, 3rd Ave North, will be there. Come on down.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
And guess what? There's free parking on Labor Day.
Oh, that's right.
Free street parking. No reason not to come down.
And the festival will be out of your way if you come down on Monday also.
It's not going to be super crazy, super slam down there, but it's going to be nice and mellow for people to stroll around and peruse.
Will most of your artists stick around for the extra day?
Yeah, everyone's sticking around.
What's the breakdown between local and everyone else, approximately?
Let me count. We have Seattle, we have about 5 artists.
Oh, wow.
5 studios that are Seattle. Portland, we have 2. Oregon, we have 2. And then, yeah, it's a lot of the Austin contingent is coming up because there's a lot of artists in Austin, yeah. And they do the flat stock down there during South by Southwest. So
this year, 4 days of flat stock, and it starts on Friday. That's September 2nd and runs 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. At the Exhibition Hall, Seattle Center, part of Bumbershoot, but also not part of Bumbershoot on Monday. If you want to go down because you didn't have tickets for this weekend, you can check it out there. Mike, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Anything else you got?
You know, the times will be there from 1:30 to 9:30. Since AG pushed the times, the opening times for Bumbershoot in general back. It's not open in the morning. The gates are at, think, 1 or something like that. So 1:30 to 9:30.
And are there tubes available there so if people buy poster art, they can?
Yes, the American Poster Institute will actually have a booth which we have volunteers running, and they will be selling cardboard tubes. I think they're like $5.
Yeah.
Most artists are already set up. They have a plastic sleeve so you don't damage your print when you take it away, or a plastic bag. But if you want that extra protection or you're hopping on a flight, you can just get a tube.
Yeah, it can be a real drag to have to carry it around all day long and worry about it the whole time. So
Correct.
Getting that tube is there. All right. Well, best of luck. Can't wait to see all
Thank
the
you.
Art this year. I'll come out and say hi and find Did you have your own booth this year?
I do.
That'll be great.
We also have print demos happening, so you can actually see how the silkscreen poster is made.
Do you know when those are happening?
It's throughout the whole festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you can...
Somebody will have... His name's Eric Carnell. Independence Printage is his studio name. He is running demos, so the artists submitted art to him, and he's printing it on site throughout the whole weekend.
That's so cool.
Yep.
Tell me how we can get in touch with you if we had any questions or anything.
My email's best. My email's mike@powerslidedesign.com.
Okay.
Or you can tweet me at Mike P. Clay, K-L-A-Y.
Cool. Mike, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Gregor.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog chowder.